We read, and I want to read it again, James chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." We've entitled our study tonight, "The Biggest Little Member of the Church." The biggest little member of the church. So you have your introduction there. In our last lesson, we learned about little things that control much. As we studied in chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, about, and we have our 3 points from our last lesson, we studied about the control of the body. In verse number 2, it says there in chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man," or a mature man, "able to bridle the whole body." So we looked at the little things that control much, and the first thing we talked about was the control of the body. If you're able to bridle your tongue, you can control your whole body, your whole being. Then we looked, secondly, chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." So we had, first of all, the control of the body. The second point is the control of the beasts. Not only the control of the body, but the control of the beasts. Looked at this giant horse, and I mentioned a time where I had the privilege, my wife and I used to go to the 6th state fair in New England called the Big E. I could still smell all the food. Hallelujah. Amen. But we used to go into the barn where they had the Clydesdales, and they would have a whole team of those giant horses, and Brother Mark, just one person back there with the reins, and all he had to do was jerk on those reins. Why? Because they had bits in their mouths. That's how God shows us that a little bit can control a giant beast. Okay? Little tongue can control the whole body. Thirdly, the control of the body, the control of the beast. Then we looked in verse 4. Look at it with me. It says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." The control of the body, the control of the beast. Then we looked at the control of the boats. Amen. And you see these gigantic boats, and there's just one person with a little helm, little wheel, moving that entire boat. Okay? James, and we have a cross reference here. I want you to write this cross reference down, and I'll quote it to you. James, cross-reference, 2 Peter 1:21. As you'll hear me preaching, and we're talking about James, and we're talking about James writing down these words. Listen, folks, 2 Peter 1:21 is an important cross-reference. Every Christian ought to memorize that verse. Why? What does that verse tell us? Well, you're in James. Go over just a couple of pages and you'll be in 2 Peter. Most of you know this verse. You may not know the address, but you will. 2 Peter 1:21 is an important verse. Okay? It's a very important verse. It says there, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." James just didn't think, "I think I should write this." The Holy Ghost told him what to write. Amen? By the way, that's what keeps this book free from error. Because the Holy Ghost inspired the writers, and God promised to preserve it. So James, cross-reference there, 2 Peter 1:21, continues in his use of practical, blank line there, illustrations. He gave us the illustration there back in James chapter 3 of the beasts and the boats. But he continues his use of practical illustrations. However, he moves these to the thought of the tongue that is not under control. Okay? So he talks about how if you can bridle your tongue, you can control your whole body. But he moves in giving us illustrations to show us what it's like when the tongue is out of control or not under the control of the Holy Spirit. By the way, can a Christian have his tongue not under control of the Holy Spirit? And all God's people said, He sure can. He sure can. Why? Because we have flesh. And the flesh still wants to do what it wants to do. Okay? So we're going to look at three things here tonight, three different points. First of all, notice number one, Roman numeral number one, the size of the tongue. The size of the tongue. If you have a lesson sheet there, the size of the tongue. Verse 5. What does it say? Even so, the tongue is a little member. Okay, so blank line there. The tongue is little. However, little things, bit and rudder, as we just looked at, amen, can and do control large things, horse and ship. Okay? And so, by the way, just an English lesson here. God takes us there. He says, even so. You know what God is doing there? He's connecting verse 5 back to the previous verses. Just like is really what he's saying. We used to have a Bible college professor that would tell us, anytime you see the word therefore or wherefore, ask yourself this. What's the therefore, therefore? Means God is connecting the previous thought, amen? And doing the same here. He gives us the illustration of the bit and the bridle and the rudder controlling the large things. And he says here, the tongue is little. Okay, the tongue is little, so the size of the tongue. Secondly, notice with me the scope of the tongue. The scope of the tongue, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, okay? And here's the scope. And boasteth great things, okay? This biggest little member's speech does not match its size. See, it's tiny. The tongue, by the way, it's very interesting to note, your tongue and your heart are your strongest organs in your body. Your tongue and your heart. It's amazing because the tongue is so small, yet it boasteth great things. This three-word phrase, boasteth great things, is translated from the Greek word, and we have it there for you, megalokeo. Megalokeo. As you can tell, I am not a Greek scholar. Hallelujah. I'm like Dr. Malone. I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. A little Greek runs a pizza shop. A little Hebrew is my attorney. Amen. And that's about all I know. Amen. But it's always interesting to look at this phrase is only found once in the entire New Testament. And it's right here. This Greek word is only found once in the entire New Testament, right in this spot here in chapter 3, verse 5. John Phillips, great Bible expositor, said of this, James' expression, boasteth great things, comes from, there's the word, mega alokeo, which means to lift up the neck. Literally, lift up the neck. Remember when Stephen preached his great sermon in Chapter 7 of Acts. By the way, my opinion, other than anything the Lord Jesus preached, because whatever he preached was perfect. I believe that Stephen's sermon is the greatest sermon ever uttered by a mortal. He went and he took those Jewish people back to their heritage and through the Exodus and through the period of the kings, and they loved his interpretation. And then he got to the application, Brother Howard, in they didn't care for it. You know why? Because this is what he said to them. He said, ye stiff-necked. You stiffen your neck. I just read today, Proverbs 29:1. He that hardeneth his neck shall be suddenly cast down. Amen. And that without remedy. It carries the idea here, this word of boasting great things. I mean, to lift up thy neck. The idea signified is that of boasting haughty speech or provocative language. That's the scope of the uncontrolled tongue. That's the scope. It boasteth great things. Even though it's only this big, it boasteth great things. The size of the tongue. The scope of the tongue. Third point tonight. The spark of the tongue. The spark of the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And there's a punctuation mark on there. Exclamation point. We could read it like this. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Exclamation point. The spark of the tongue. Go with me. Hold your spot there. You probably don't even have to go back a whole page, but there's a cross reference there, and it's James 1:19. When you consider the spark of the tongue. By the way, had the great privilege yesterday. Great privilege. Brother Jack Miller and I were out making a couple visits. And forgive us, if we visit your home this time of the year, I was in jeans and a turtleneck and a sweater, and I had sweatpants on underneath my jeans. Amen. By the way, I brought my suit today, Brother Tom. I brought it on a hanger. I was wearing almost the same thing today. Why? Because when I started the van this morning, it was negative 13. I'm sorry that I wasn't dressed appropriately. We were making a couple of visits, and we drove by, went to see Mr. Alcock and Mrs. Alcock, and then we stopped by, and we saw, we drove by, and Jack said, there's Mr. Bill's car. We saw the big U of M tire cover there, amen? So we spray-painted Sparty on there and drove by and came back, and Brother Horsch and Pastor Donald were at the nursing home there at Ganton's, the care home. This ministry of our church. And they had 11 senior citizens in there with them. Sweetest people. And Brother Horsch taught such a wonderful lesson right out of this text. And it's amazing as I was studying today how they kind of meshed together, Brother Horsch. Look at verse 19 of James chapter 1. See, James is trying to tell us that, listen, it just takes a spark. One tongue can destroy. And this is why God tells us in verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There is great old grandmotherly advice. God gave you two ears and one mouth. Why don't you listen twice as much as you talk? That'd be okay. I think of what Brother Heil said. It's one of the best pieces of advice I've ever had as a pastor. Brother Heil said this. He said, don't say what you think when you first think it. That's good advice. Amen. How many of us have been like that married couple I mentioned a couple of weeks ago? Said, do you and your husband ever cross words? They said, no, our words fly so fast they don't even have time to cross each other. Amen. No, that's not good. That's not good. What? Because it just takes a spark. And I have a note here, and it's all caps on purpose. Gossips beware. Gossips beware. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Just a couple historical events here to close with. On, you have a blank line there. On October 8th, 1871, a spark. And we don't know if it was Mrs. O'Leary's cow or not. But a spark led to three devastating Midwest fires in Chicago, in Wisconsin. And the fire was so huge, it went over the lake into Manistee. And then there was one on the Port Huron side as well. Okay, listen to these figures, folks. A spark led to three devastating Midwest fires that led to over 1,500 deaths and the destruction of almost 3 million acres. 3 million acres. And caused almost $300 million worth of financial loss. Most of it in Chicago. Chicago was leveled. It was leveled. Think about that, folks. $300 million in 1871. Think of what that would be now. Billions and billions of billions of dollars. One spark. One little spark. Then the great a matter of the destruction and desolation and despair during World War II. The Great War. The War of the Greatest Generation. Was caused by a little fire from a little member of a little man named Adolf Hitler. Remember, have you ever seen any of those Nuremberg videos? I have. It's amazing, Brother Leonard, to look at. Here he is up there and he's railing against everything. Railing against the Jews, railing against the blacks, railing against capitalism, railing against America. And the people are so frenzied. You see it in their eyes. They're all, and it was one little tongue that set the entire world on fire. And 60 million people died as a result. A friend of mine was a firefighter. He told me this. He said, Brother Rich, a fire doubles in size every minute. Every minute it's burning, it doubles in size. Listen, folks, we got to watch our tongues. We got to watch. Listen, you don't have to talk about somebody. You can still take grandma's other piece of advice. If you don't have something good to say, don't say anything. Amen. That's right. We don't need more fires. Amen. Sometimes a pastor's job is to be a fireman because people are starting fires all the time. We don't need that. Listen, we got to. This is the great picture. We're going to talk about it again next week. This is a great picture in these two verses, 5 and 6, of what the tongue is like if we just leave it unbridled. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to bridle our tongues. We have to. Amen. Listen, the Spirit of God. Go with me. I don't have it in the notes tonight, but I want you to go with me. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. I tell you what, I wish more people would learn this in the social media realm as well. They bridle their fingers, typing all sorts of stuff maybe that they shouldn't, that maybe God's not as pleased with as they think they are. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number... Oh boy, can we go down? Oh, there's so much here. Well, look at verse 22. We'll read a little bit here. It says that you put off, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. That old nature that just wants to stir stuff up and just feed the flesh. It says here, put it off. Put it away. Put it off like you take off a coat. Put it off. And then he says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you do that? Right here, folks. You want to be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Get the mind of Christ. Right here in the Bible. Amen. Then it says this, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. I have a note. Many of you know I'm a tremendous baseball fan. Somebody had gotten me a daily baseball calendar, Brother Hauser, with famous quotes from players. And one of the greatest right fielders that ever played the game was a fellow named Roberto Clemente. Roberto Clemente, tremendous arm, great hitter. Once hit a ball so hard he broke Bob Gibson's leg with a line drive. He hit the ball so hard. He said this. He said, when I put on my uniform, I feel I am the proudest man on earth. You know what we're supposed to do? Put on the new man. Put on the new man. The new part of us. That part that wants to please God. That part that wants to love souls. That part that wants to love the Bible. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then there's some putting away. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And here's verse 29. This is where I wanted to get to. Boy, if you don't have this verse marked and you mark your Bible, you got to mark this verse. This is it right here. Talking about the tongue. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What's the purpose of what I'm going to say? Is it going to help somebody? Or is it just going to tear them down? Don't get me wrong, folks. By the way, Proverbs says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen. So a friend is somebody that will tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. But I'm telling you, a lot of what goes on in Christian circles is just chipping at people. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Listen, be in the building up business with your tongue, not the tearing down business. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for your blessings upon us. We pray that you would bless now. And Lord, as we close with an invitation, Lord, help us with our tongues. Lord, it's so easy to get loose with our tongues. Help us to bridle these little members that can still boast great things. Even though we're saved, it can still kindle great fires. Lord, help us, Lord, not to start fires with our tongue. Help us to control the biggest little member of the church. We pray that you'd bless now. Bless in our business to follow, Lord. Again, may you be pleased with all that we do. We love you. Thank you for all that you give to us. Thank you most of all for dying on the cross for us. In Jesus' name.